Excellent. Okay, let's get started here. You have your Bibles with you, right? Because this is church. Excellent. All right, you see the scripture up there, Matthew 7. Let's start by reading this. Then we'll say a prayer and get going here. Matthew 7, verse 1. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Let me take that speck out of your eye," when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning, and we are looking at your word. We're looking for wisdom. We're looking for direction and how we are supposed to live our lives. And so, Father, I pray that you would use me to be able to give that direction. Lord, some of us need to be encouraged. Some of us need to be convicted. And I pray that you would do what needs to be done in each of our hearts this morning. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, that's a familiar passage. Not only do we Christians use it, but often I think you might hear non-Christians using it as well, right? I mean, that's one of the popular ones. You're trying to tell them maybe that they're doing something wrong, and what's the first thing that comes out of their mouth? You're a Christian. You're not supposed to judge, right? You ever heard that one? Yeah. And, we've got, I think, maybe a little bit of a misconception about judging here, first off. And so I want to kind of illustrate, what is judgment? What is judgment? So I want to do a little charades here with you, okay? And you tell me what I'm doing. All right? Okay, here's the first one. Everybody gets that one right away. Threading a needle. Who said that? Shame on you. I didn't even get to the good part. All right. Threading a needle. You knew that one right away. Good. Okay. Here's the next one, okay? Good job. Excellent. Yeah, I didn't do that one so well last night. They didn't get it till I had to throw the fishing pole. All right, here's another one. Here's another one. Okay, but you got to get this one fully, okay? Okay, wait, 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 wait. Wait. I don't even know how to golf one. What's going on there? All right, I missed the ball. I'm mad. Okay. You're sitting there, and I'm doing these charades, you know. What are you doing as you're watching me? You're observing, okay? And what exactly are you watching for? You're watching for actions that correspond to actions in real life, right? And you have all seen the objects. You've seen a needle and thread. You've seen a fish and a fish hook. You've seen a golf club. And you know how they're used. And even though I don't have them, you can reason through it, watch my actions, and picture in your head what is going on. What in essence are you doing? In essence, you're making a judgment. You're taking evidence that I've given you, and you are running with it, and you're making a judgment. That's what judgment is. That's the reason why pantomimes can do what they do. Because we're able to look at things, we're able to see the evidence, and we're able to process it in our brain, and we're able to make a judgment, right? Now, a lot of judgments are such that we actually do something with. We make a judgment, and then we act upon that judgment. Okay? I was thinking about cars, selling cars. When you go to look for a car, you're wanting to buy a car, and you go to look for a car, do you already have in mind, which some kind of to a greater or lesser extent, in mind what you want? Okay? And so you go over to the car salesman, and you say, in case nobody knows, Joe is a car salesman. And you say, "I want to buy a car." And Joe, what's one of the first questions you ask? What are you looking for? Why do you ask that? Makes it easier. What are you looking for? Well, because you're assuming that the person who's coming to buy a car already has in mind what they want, right? Okay? And so based upon what they tell you, like we recently bought a car from Joe, another van, Dodge van, because we have a big family and we got to cart them all around. You know, I told Joe what I was looking for, and Joe found something for me. You know, he listened to what I said, and then he showed me various things. Now, I'm an easy sell, but some people will go, well, I don't know. I don't really, you know, I'm looking for something with power windows. I'm looking for something with a little more room. I'm looking for something with a bigger engine. I'm looking for something with greater gas mileage, you know. And so I'm telling all this stuff to Joe, and Joe's processing it. But Joe's not just going off of what I'm saying, by the way, because a good car salesman never does that, right? You know exactly what I'm talking about. That's why. I also go off body language. You go off not only exactly what the person's saying about the car, but how the person is talking, what they're saying. And so in his mind, he's putting all these things together, and he's going, okay, they're saying they want this car, but I know this is the kind of car they really want. And Joe is, by the way, Joe is not your typical car salesman. He's good, and he's honest. So if you ever want a car, go to Joe. He'll get you a car. But you understand what I'm saying here? So this whole time that you're dealing with the car salesman, he's showing you stuff. You got what? You got something in mind, and you're either going to do one of two things when you leave that lot. You're going to leave with a car because you found what you were looking for, or you're going to leave without a car. You made a judgment. And every time he showed you a car, you were making a judgment about that car based upon certain things that you already had in mind. Okay? That's judgment. That's judging. Okay? And we do it all the time. Now, my daughter is learning how to drive. She's got her permit. And I do have to tell you, it's a blessing and a non-blessing. Okay? And let me go back to when she was a little girl. I taught Kaylisa how to ride a bike. It took maybe half an hour or so. Kaylisa got on the bike and did a little running around and stuff, and she finally got it. So I thought when it was Katie's turn, I'd do the same thing. So Katie got on the bike, and I get next to it, right? And I start running, and she just takes off and just rides the bike. Okay? She did the same thing with cars. All right? I didn't really have to teach her anything. She stole my blessing as a father. I just wanted people to know that. She stole my blessing, but God will deal with her on that. She's still not perfect though, and there's a few things we've got to deal with. And one of the things that we all realize is when you're driving, you've got to make judgment calls all the time. You know? And so I'm trying to teach her this. You gotta be watching the cars in front of you, you know, and not only do you need to be watching the road, I mean it's a whole new dimension when you start driving. But you got to be watching all the cars around you, everything around you. And you can, at times, really predict what a car is going to do, even though they may not be following the law, you know. She's really good now. Man, that car's weaving all over the place. Well, slow down and just let them do what they're going to do, and let's, you know, not get ourselves in any trouble. We make judgment calls all the time, and then we react off those judgment calls. Right? So to make judgments is really just to be human in one sense. And especially when it comes to stuff, it's okay to make judgments about stuff. It's okay to act on those judgments. Sometimes we're wrong. Sometimes we're right. I had a friend in my first youth ministry job, the church I was in, he was given the opportunity when Starbucks was starting to be one of the, what do you call them? One of the guys that investor, thank you. Man, I can't think of that. One of the investors, and he turned it down. But, I mean, he made a judgment call. He looked at everything, and he said, I don't think this is going to work, according to him. He's kicking himself in the pants now. But sometimes our judgment calls are not good. Sometimes they are good. But we make judgment calls as human beings, okay? And like I said, it's okay to make judgment calls about stuff. But when we start making judgment calls about people, it gets different, doesn't it? When we start looking at people and start looking at the whatever evidence we see and we start making judgments about them, it's different. Why is it so different when it comes to people? Well, you're dealing with something that is very complex, number one. A person is a very complex thing, a being. And even though they may be acting and behaving one way, doesn't necessarily mean that what that That's what is on the inside. We're all guilty of making judgment calls about people. When I'm driving down the street and I see someone standing there holding a sign, says something like stranded, need help, or something like that, need money, or something like that, you know, I'm guilty, and I know a lot of us are guilty of just saying, oh, they don't probably don't need help. They probably just don't have a job, and they're just lazy bums, and they won't get off their butt, and blah, blah, blah. You know, and everybody's laughing because you know what I'm talking about. We all do that. We all make those kind of judgment calls. Katie and I were in, she told me Bash's. I thought it was Walmart, but it was in Bash's, and this was a while back. And I'd never noticed this before, but we're walking down the aisle, and there's this other teenage girl walking, who was ahead of us, walking towards us, and she walks right by. And for the first time I saw this, I was watching her, and she goes by Katie, and this is what she does. You know, it gave her this really nasty look. It's like she looked her up and down and gave her this nasty look. I said, Katie, you know that girl? She's like, no. I said, what was that? You know? And so I started watching it, and it happens all the time. Teenage girls do this all the time to one another. I don't know why. I don't know what the criteria is that they base it on. I'm a guy. Guys, just when they walk down, it's like, you know, that's all it is. So I don't know what it is, but teenage girls, they judge each other. And I don't know if it's based on clothing. I don't know if it's based on makeup. I just don't know what it is. But we, what is it? All of them? Oh, it's okay. It's amazing. But we, I mean, that's an obvious one, but we do it all the time to people. When I was younger, I was an overweight kid. And, you know, in high school, I actually thinned down. I was 157 pounds. I was wrestling, playing football, stuff. After I graduated, food came back into my life, and unfortunately. But so I was overweight, and I was picked on and made fun of and stuff. Well, I grew up with this idea in my head that overweight people were stupid people. Even though I didn't necessarily believe that about myself, when I would see an overweight person, I would automatically assume that. I don't know how many people do that. I've never really talked about it with other people, but that's I automatically assume that. There's all sorts of judgment calls that I make. Last night, we were after service. We went to Smith's, and as we're coming out, these two young people, a guy and a girl, were running towards us. And one of the girls was carrying a box with her. And right away, I knew who they were. They were from the Unification Church, or AKA Moonies. And I used to be, I'd make a judgment call right there. I didn't realize this until last night. I'd make a judgment call right there. And instead of doing what I was supposed to do, what am I supposed to do in those situations? Engage. I would be nice. I wouldn't be mean. I'd be nice. And I'd turn around and I'd leave. And last night, we turned around and left. And as I'm pulling away, man, God just, I felt guilty. I thought, man, I needed to do something here. But I used to do that. I used to make judgment calls about these people from other religions. I mean, rightfully so in one sense. They do not believe the truth, and they need to hear the truth. But I would get to the point where I'm just thinking, oh, they're another religion, whatever, and just go on. We do it all the time. We make judgment calls all the time. Do you understand what I'm saying here? And what is really wrong about judgment making? I can't see it there, so I got to look back here. First off, people are complex. I already said that. We can't assume that our judgments are correct about them. And judgments about people affect or can affect their lives, and they definitely affect our lives. They can affect their lives if they know that you're making that judgment call about them. But it definitely affects our life. How does it affect our life? Well, this passage of Scripture we just read. Jesus said, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother? He's specifically talking to Christians here, but listen to what he says. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? Remove the plank, so forth. But then he says, the measure we use will be the measure used against us. There definitely is consequences to judging and or making false judgments, wrong judgments. You understand where I'm going with this? Huh? Christianity adds a whole new dimension to judgment making. If you think about it. The fact is we have God's holy law. We have God's will. It's all here in the Scripture. And it adds a completely different dimension to judgment making. We have this criteria, this standard by which to judge. And depending on what church tradition you're from, you may judge, and not only judge, you may end up condemning someone. And I'll give you an example. My grandmother was from a movement called the Holiness Movement, particularly a church called the Pilgrim Holiness Church. And the church was influenced by Wesley. Wesley had a doctrine known as Christian perfectionism, where he thought that once you become a Christian, you cannot, because you have the Spirit inside of you, you cannot intentionally sin as a Christian. Now, he believed you could unintentionally sin, accidentally sin, but you could not intentionally sin as a Christian. Okay? My dad was brought up in this tradition. He was sent to a high school in Kentucky, a Christian high school that was part of this tradition. His senior year, he had the principal call him into the office, and when he got in there, there were three or four other teachers there as well, and they spent about 2 hours telling my dad that he was not saved. My dad was on fire for God. He was so young that at that time he had some little card that enabled him to go and preach at churches, and churches would ask him to come and preach and stuff. And I mean, he had a zeal for God. But these people didn't, something they didn't see. They're part of this holiness tradition, and I guess they didn't feel my dad was holy enough or something. And so for about 2 hours, they just beat him up one side and down the other, until finally he just relented. He said, "I'm not saved. I want to be saved." He prayed the prayer, and then as he was leaving the door, he said, "I'm done with this. I'm through with this." Holiness tradition has that temptation. Whether they're